Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Baldy, I still can't believe what happened in the fourth quarter. Maybe you could explain it to us after watching the film. Why do you think that one got away from the Giants in Denver?
It just can't put, one thing. Four straight touchdowns like that. They got hot. Everybody's talked about, the decision to throw it on third down and five, at your own 30-yard line, when Denver's already clearly showing you that they're going to burn all their timeouts, that the clock is the enemy. They need as much time as possible. It's a two-score game. It's 26-16. And, of course, Jackson makes the one bad throw that he makes all day. He's trying to step over all kinds of bodies in there, Scatterboo's on the ground, Singleton's on the ground. He's trying to step over it to get it to Theo. And, Sternad jumps out, and takes it away from him. I'm not sure if you saw him or not. It might have just been a bad throw because of all the traffic that he was trying to navigate. But, that play, really hurt him because they got him a short field. They got the instant score. The quarterback got really hot. And, we've never seen anything like it. But it's a compilation of a lot of bad things happening all at once.
Well, Boldy, I know we have you on here to run through the tape, and there's a lot of things we want to throw by you, but I just need an opinion on this here. So, obviously, five change, you laid it out, run, timeout, pass for whatever reason, dumb move there, and you knew that if they ran, it would have been a third timeout. Okay, so they messed that up. Concepts and offense, forget about that. When you're in your fourth year as a head coach, how do you not know that? How do you mess that up if you're Dable?
I was watching the game. I was in the airport. I was in Minnesota, did the Eagles game. We're watching the game without the sound, but we're just watching it as a group. And I bet you were doing the same thing, and I bet every Giant fan was doing. Like, you're doing this thing in your own head. We're all sort of, playing Madden all along. Like, I think everybody's looking at it like, just run it. Just run it. If you gain a yard, so what? Punt it. You've got 4.5 minutes. They're going to take the timeout. Make them go a long field. I don't know how you don't know it. I don't know. I mean, I heard Coach talk about, a couple weeks ago we had a situation. He made a great throw. Well, that's Surtain covering Theo Johnson. That's a defense that leads the league in sacks. They just had 9 against the Jets. They had a bunch against the Giants. Like, you got sharks out there, man. I don't know. Like, I'm not sure. You can't really justify that one away. If I'm the coach, honestly, I'm just taking it like it's on me. Like, I made that mistake. It's not on my quarterback. Like, I can't put him in that position. Like, I just think at least you have to own up to that. But the play call itself, is just a mystery.
My issue, Baldy, and I admit, like, I would have been more aggressive there. Once Peyton started to call timeouts of 5 minutes ago, I'm not trying to play run the clock out here. You can't do that on multiple drives. And they did the predictable run, and then pass. I know people take issue with whatever. My bigger issue is, how the hell do you have three down linemen and dropping eight when you just got burned in week two with the Cowboys kicking a field goal? I'd be curious to get your take on that. I had a major issue with the defense backing off there after the touchdown gave them the lead late.
So did Brian Burns.
Yeah, wow.
You know, I mean, with the player, I mean, he wasn't shy about it. And I don't blame him. I was ticked because, you know, just because you drop eight doesn't ensure anything. Like, you know, you got Banks out there. He's just like a statue out there. They're making an in cut right there. He's not following the receiver. Like, it's just sort of unnatural how to actually play eight guys, because you rarely do it. So you do it as an insurance thing, I think so. But honestly, I don't know. Like, you've got these pass rushers. You're paying all these guys this money. You're making all these draft picks. Like, let them go to work. You know, let them go to work. You got a brand new left guard in there. You know, he hadn't played left guard. He's been a tackle, Palcheski. Like, just make him block you up right there.
Mm-hmm. You know, Burns has been phenomenal. I think Kayvon Thibodeau's coming along real well. I like the season he's having. I want to see Abdul Carter start wrecking some games. I think eventually we will maybe use him a little differently. I don't love what I'm seeing from Lawrence, and you and I agreed upon that a couple of weeks back, maybe a little bit banged up, whatever. What is the film saying 1 through 7 here? There's been a lot of football so far now. What is it saying about Lawrence?
Well, I mean, he's not getting the type of push that we're used to seeing. He has played better. I'm not going to say that he's invisible out there. He has played better. I've seen him play more snaps than he's playing. I've seen him play more volume of snaps, and sometimes you're on the field more, you're going to get more opportunities. But we just haven't seen the splash plays from him. And I just thought, you know, put him up against Palcheski, his first-time left guard in there. He's new, his third left guard they've had in 3 weeks in there. Like, let him go see what the kid's made of. And I didn't think that he made him feel his punch, as I like to say.
Well, Baldy, hold on. That's unacceptable. I mean, he's got a massive, and I know that you're right, but I needed to hear it from you because you know this stuff better than all of us. He's making a ton of money, and people walk around saying, oh, yeah, Dexter Lawrence, well, you know, top, second best defensive lineman in football. If people are going to throw that around so loosely and so definitively, you got to start playing better football, period.
Well, you know, the perspective I get is I get to see defensive tackles that are playing great, like Derrick Brown in Carolina, like guys that are really changing the game. You know, they're batting the balls down. They're pushing the pocket. They're throwing bodies around, like physically just throwing people right off the screen. Like, I just don't see the physical dominance that I think we saw for a couple years up until the injury last year that we saw from Dexter, where just physically he was better. I mean, Jason Kelce still talks about that's a nightmare going up against Dexter Lawrence, you know, at the end of his career and what that was like. And, you know, it might have taken, you know, maybe made him think about retirement. But regardless, like, I just don't see the physical dominance that I see from other Chris Jones, Derrick Brown, the guys that I think people want to put him in that category. He's just not playing at that level.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. How about the Giants defense overall, Baldy? A lot of people questioning the defensive coordinator, Bowen, want him out. We talk about being vanilla or conservative, where they have players all over the field, but yet it still hasn't been as dominant or as explosive maybe as we would have liked to have seen. What are you seeing from the Giants defense? Is it a scheme thing? Is it a players thing? What's going on with their defense?
Well, I mean, you know, it's a tale of two cities. I mean, for three quarters, it's as good as it gets. I mean, that's a good offense with a lot of weapons, with a, you know, a champion play caller on the other side. And they couldn't, you know, it was all punts in the first half. It was all punts in the third quarter. You know, it all changed in the fourth quarter. Bo Nix made, I counted, 13 exceptional plays. Like, they didn't affect the quarterback in the fourth quarter. And, you know, that's when the game's now, you're up 19-0. You think, like, maybe you're just kind of, okay, we got this one. You're kind of, like, relaxing a little bit. We see this in all sports. You know, you got this big lead, and you're just, you know, the offense is still scoring. Tyrone Tracy, you know, is blasting one up the middle for a touchdown. You're still moving. And maybe you just relax.
If your eyes are the windows to your soul and your glasses are the windows to your eyes, then it's pretty important to find your perfect frames. That's why at Warby Parker, we've made shopping for eyewear as easy and fun as can be. peruse endless styles in our stores, or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. To find your next favorite pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to locate your nearest Warby Parker store, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Relax a little bit, but that was that fourth quarter. The quarterback did whatever he wanted to do. Now, they got lucky too. You know, the ball gets tipped, you know, off of Flott's hands and into, Troy Franklin's hands for a touchdown. I mean, that's a great individual play right there by Flott, who's playing really good football.
He is.
And it ends up being a touchdown. I mean, that's just kind of luck. But at the same time, you know, hit the scrambles, the rollout. They only roll them to the right. Like, I mean, at some point you just go, okay, let's pressure him from that side so he can't come to the right where he's more comfortable.
Yeah, by the way, the Giants got a little bit lucky too. They had a ricochet for a touchdown.
No doubt.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm kind of hearing two different things with regards to the presentation of the Giants offense. Now, the other day they were talking a little bit, didn't delve too deeply into it, but they did mention, hey, there's some concepts that were utilized at Ole Miss. Okay. And then I also see a lot on social media, people who do what you do, not as well as you, but who do what you do, talking about, it looks a little scattered, Giants offense looks like recess ball. So which one is it? Are they doing Ole Miss stuff, or are they just running around like they're in recess?
He might have had more talent at Ole Miss than he has now.
Oh.
Trey Harris, you go watch Trey Harris play. I mean, you might take him over anybody that's playing wide out. He missed a couple go shots. The other day, it's going to happen. The deep ball, he had two, like, where there's no safety over the top. And, you know, you drop that in the bucket to Jalen Hyatt or to Wandale. You know, maybe we're not even talking about this collapse. So he missed a couple shots, but that's kind of sometimes the last thing to come to a quarterback. But I watched him at Ole Miss. I don't think this is a college simple. I think they've got some concepts that are pretty good. And, you know, pretty reliable. I mean, it looks like a real offense. And the kid, you know, makes a lot of really good loose plays, you know, where he really navigates the pocket exceptionally well.
Yeah.
And that's a difficult front with great pass rushers inside and outside. And I don't know exactly how he feels it, but he keeps his eyes down the field. I mean, you guys, you know, in New York, I mean, going back to Dave Brown and some of these quarterbacks you've had, I mean, these guys drop their eyes as soon as they feel pressure. This guy almost never does that. It's almost a rare skill, and the pocket awareness that he has is pretty elite. I remember talking to Brady about it last year, and he's like, "You can't coach it. You either have it or you don't have it." And I think this kid's got great pocket awareness.
It's one of the reasons why I'd be more encouraged, even with the horrific loss. You can't lose a game like that. We understand it. A lot of things went wrong. But Baldy, I mean, you mentioned championship play caller, an offense with weapons all over the place, and I think the best defense in the NFL. And to have Jackson Dart go in there and perform the way that he did as a rookie and what, his fourth start in the league, I think it's more encouraging what happened in those first three quarters than the way that the result went in the fourth quarter for the Giants.
I agree. I totally agree. I mean, the kid has something to him now. He just has a feel for the game. He can drive the ball. Like, he doesn't play with any fear whatsoever. And that not just running and taking hits. He got blasted on a couple of those shots the other day and gets right up. But I mean, I'm talking about no fear of just, all right, pulling the trigger and just throwing it. Like, cause the guys on the other side, just north of here, like, they have a lot of fear about making a throw. This guy has no fear. about making a throw.
Oh, man. All right, quickly on Scataboo, who's got this cult hero identity already. You know, the easiest thing to do is to take a white running back and try to find a former white running back, Allstott, you know, the white rhino, yeah. Peyton Hillis.
Yeah.
But I think that's lazy. So is there a comp that you know that you, early comp in terms of Scataboo to somebody else?
But he's like a baby Earl Campbell.
What?
Like, you want to go back in time.
Earl Campbell.
I'm just saying, I said a baby. I'm not talking about the Earl. All right. I'm just saying, like, that's how Earl came. I'll never forget when I was in Dallas and Earl was in Houston. We played him every year in preseason. And I still remember him, like, literally like a rhino, like hitting Everson Walls and, like, literally flipping him off the field back when, you know, starters used to play in the preseason. But, I mean, you know, you can feel these hits. You can feel it. Like, you can feel it in the stands. You can feel it when you're sitting here in a little film room and watching him. You can feel his power. It's real. I saw it at Arizona State. Like, he was the only guy he had. He was the only player they had at Arizona State. And they took Texas right to the brink. And he was doing that against guys that are, you know, guy that was playing on Sunday for Denver, Jay Barron. Like, he buried him in college. Like, he's got rare power.
Baldy, if we go around the league, because I don't want to waste anybody's time on the Jets, certainly not your time here. They're not worth talking about. Colts, how legit are Daniel Jones and the Indianapolis Colts?
They're totally legit. Like, Daniel Jones, like, I know he had a couple interceptions against the Rams. One wasn't his fault, but the guys did not make mistakes. The offense is dynamic. They just took the Chargers apart. They put up 44 on the Chargers. Like, and they went up and down the field on the road against that defense. It is well-designed. They've got the leading rusher in the league, a solid offensive line, and they've got what you would call weapons. Like, Tyler Warren is a beast. He looks, reminds me of Mark Bavaro, you know, be honest with you. Like, he run that type of presence about him. And, you know, just to use a giant, you know, cult hero. But the offense is really good, really good. They could easily be 7-0 right now.
Are the Pats a year away, or are they kind of entering the real category?
Well, they went to Buffalo and they beat Buffalo.
Yep.
They took Tennessee apart. The quarterback doesn't make mistakes. They fixed the offense line. Two rookies on the left side are playing like veterans right now. And they got a championship-level coach. So they've improved the talent everywhere. Stephon Diggs is playing really good for them. Kayshawn Boutte is a legit receiver. They got talent. They're going to be a real – they're going to make a lot of noise in the AFC East. And it won't surprise me to see him win the division.
Last one, Baldy. The Eagles, Giants again. This one's going to be in Philadelphia. You did the game. You just said Minnesota Eagles starting to right the ship maybe a little bit. Where do you think that team is at going into this game with the Giants pounding them on Thursday Night Football a couple weeks ago? Is it going to be a different Eagles team? Can the Giants have a chance here? Where are the Eagles at?
I don't think the Eagles are a great defense. You know, they're minus. They might sign Brandon Graham today. You know, that retired. I mean, they just need somebody. Za'Darius Smith, they thought, could give him a little juice off the edge. You know, he went into retirement. They need help rushing a passer. They don't have a left corner. You know, there's a real weakness in defense. And then offensively, they went to a play-action pass game, kind of joined the 21st century, and they got a bunch of big plays off it on Sunday against the Vikings, which was the difference. The quarterback had his best game in a long time. The receivers are big time. So, I mean, they look different, but Saquon's still really struggling to run the football. Over 40% of all of his runs this year have gone for a yard or less.
Wow.
Is that him or the offensive line?
Wow, what a number.
Nah, I think it's more the offensive line. They had a backup center in there. You know, the left guard's been in and out of the lineup. He doesn't look the same with a bunch of injuries that he's playing through. I think it's more the offensive line than Saquon at this point.
Thanks, Baldy. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep. Good stuff.
Okay, guys, you got it.
All right, there you go. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. More your calls when we come back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.